6:49. This is 1320 WILS. Now, if you feel this world is, well, is out of control, you're not alone. Many of us do. My next guest is here to tell us how to deal with it. Dr. Jeffrey Rubin, a psychotherapist and author of The Art of Flourishing, a guide to mindfulness, self-care, and love in a chaotic world. Dr. Rubin, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, the how chaotic do you think the world is now compared to 20, 30 years ago?
Enormously more chaotic. I think that things are happening that most people disagree with, whatever our political affiliation, and I think we're feeling powerless to stop it, and it feels like it keeps happening. Mm-hmm. And then there's almost fresh assaults on our trust, our credulity, and our sense of fairness and decency, okay, almost on a daily basis.
How does that translate to people's personal lives when it comes to their own family and friends and so on?
I think it makes people feel more exhausted, more depleted, more self-doubting, mm-hmm. more like they want to seek sort of private solace and private pleasure. They want to, get more insular. And I think that that's understandable, but I think we also need to open and try to face the world. But it's very, very difficult because mm-hmm. the feelings this stuff stirs up are so strong.
Yeah. What's wrong with becoming more insular?
It's necessary but not sufficient, as they say in science. It helps us get a foundation of safety and connection with people that we love, and also to get a break from the news and a break from the strangeness in the world. If we do it too much, though, we may feel that we get too cut off. And I think most people need to find a balance. And, of course, that balance is different for each person.
Dr. Jeffrey Rubin with us. The brand-new book is The Art of Flourishing. When you talk about flourishing, what do you really mean?
Living well and doing well. I don't mean feeling happy. I mean feeling fulfilled, feeling meaning in our life. Living the best life we can, and then enriching the lives of those people we connect with, we meet, mm-hmm. friends, lovers, coworkers. So it's a combination of we do well, we take care of ourselves, we listen to our feelings, we respect our body, yeah. we find meaning and purpose in our work, we follow our passions.
Now, why is that better than feeling well?
I think that it's wonderful to feel well. But I think a lot of people these days are trying to feel happy, and I think that makes them feel worse. So I think if we try to live well, sort of do the best we can, support people, live an honorable life, then we end up feeling happy as a natural byproduct. But I think there's a person who wrote a bestseller about happiness, and she said, I was unhappy that I wasn't happier. So see, happiness changes moment to moment. You want to have a picnic, and now it rains. You want your team to win, and now they lose. But I think if we try to focus on living well and supporting other people, doing well ourselves, we end up feeling happy. But if we just try to feel happy, it's too self-centered, I think.
Dr. Jeffrey Rubin, the book is The Art of Flourishing. So what's the first step to heading in that direction?
Slowing down, tuning in with ourselves, valuing the technology, but getting a break from it.
Okay. When you say, sorry, what are you talking about, meditating, that kind of thing?
Meditating, but also just stopping to take stock of how we're doing, stopping to sort of feel where we are in our lives, not just this frenzied pace that the world seems to be imposing on us.
Yeah, I mean, you always hear action. Action is where things happen. Do you agree with that philosophy in general, that that's where life occurs when you take action?
I think it's a part of it, Michael, but I think also the action has to be wise action, or it's just speeding off to the edge of a cliff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we need to combine introspection and action. If we just have one by itself, ancient Greeks knew this. If we have one virtue by itself, it doesn't work. We need an integration of two sides of a virtue. Mm-hmm. We need insight, and then we need action.
And we see a lot of people that are just depressed, right? I mean, they're taking antidepressants. They're told that they suffer from this condition. What do you think is behind that?
I think depression is often that the quality of one's life is pretty lousy, and then they feel down. So they need to actually use it as a wake-up call, just like getting injured for someone who's even a weekend athlete. Use the emotion as a feedback that something's wrong and something needs to be changed. There might need to be more meaning in one's life, more connected with friends, more hobbies, maybe they're working too hard and not playing enough.
Yeah. Now, you're a psychotherapist. Do you think everyone needs therapy?
No, I think it has to fit. Has to be a good fit with a person, a therapist. It has to be the right time of one's life, and they have to want it. Just like anything else, I don't think it should be pushed on people.
Okay.
And I don't think it's appropriate for everybody.
So is it really? So who would you say psychotherapy is really not something that they need to pursue?
Someone who feels content with their life, finds meaning, has connected enough with other people, mm-hmm. feels joy about life, and doesn't have anything they want to work on.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, could they be just deluding themselves, though?
Yep, sometimes. That's right.
I guess it's a bit. I'm curious, too, because in those cases, you've got to rely on people outside of you, right? I mean, someone may feel happy inside, but people around them say, look, you know, I don't like how you're treating me or this or that. How much sway should that have on your views on things, what your people around you are telling you?
Well, I think you need to have an integration. I think you're raising a great point. I think we need to be open to the feedback of others because often they can see what we can't see in ourselves. And also we have to then take our own counsel and see if it feels appropriate in our lives right now.
Mm. Now
also, sometimes people need to sort of test their own mettle. So they need to work on their own for a while to see how they can do without any outside help.
Mm. Really,
just like someone working out without a trainer because they want to test themselves. They want to feel stronger about themselves.
Uh-huh.
They want to trust themselves more.
Do you think sometimes people can use therapy in a way where it doesn't really help them at all? They just show up and get to whine for a while?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely.
And now what do you do when you have a patient where you feel they're not actually making progress and they've been seeing you, you know, for many sessions? What do you do at that point?
I might say, I think you're going in circles in your life, or I think this is not working. And either it could be that I'm not a good fit for you, or someone else could help you more, or that I'm missing something, or it could be that mm-hmm. you're not engaging it. You're keeping therapy at arm's length. You're showing up and sort of doing your penance and speaking for 45 or 50 minutes, but not really trying to bring this into your life.
Interesting. So do you...
It's just like with training. Someone could show someone a yoga posture, but then the person has to practice it on their own.
I see. Because they're there and they're talking about the pain they've been through, right, their experiences. But you're saying that's not enough to heal them? There's more they need to do after that?
Yeah. An older therapist once said to me early on in my training, no one got better by blaming the parent, but everybody has to understand the impact of the parent. So some people use therapy just to emote. But we also have to develop what Gloucester and King Lear call see feelingly. We have to feel it. They have to feel it, and then it has to be translated into action.
Mm-hmm. Is it appropriate for a therapist to tell a patient, look, you need to push through this and stop fixating on this?
Well, I think there's also the mirror opposite danger in our culture right now where everyone pushes everyone to just do it. You know, you lose a pet, you lose a relative. And after 2 weeks or 6 weeks or 3 months, people say, all right, get over it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the culture has no tolerance for people's feelings. So I also think we have to be more patient and compassionate with each other and give people the time they need to heal.
Interesting. What is the right amount of time, would you say, in general? I mean,
whatever a particular person needs, Michael, and I think that varies greatly, but I think it has to be respected. What you can do is say, look, you seem in this place for a while. Is it that you need to be here, or are you resting and you need to play your edge? You need to challenge yourself a little more.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a tough call, you know, because I guess it's a personal one. Someone has to decide, I'm done with this stage of my life. I'm ready to move to the next one, right?
That's right. And often there's something that I call witnessing. So a person will need to keep their struggle alive. So it's kind of Vietnam memorial of their unwitnessed pain, because we all need our pain validated, at least by one or two people. And so if no one's ever seen what we've gone through, we will keep a visual testimony of it. I worked with a woman years ago who was a self-cutter, and she cut her arms pretty badly. And she, one of the things that I ended up saying to her was, I think you needed to keep a tangible memorial of the physical abuse that no one had ever faced or copped to.
Hmm.
So people will keep alive a symptom until someone else mirrors it, values it, witnesses it.
Dr. Jeffrey Rubin. His brand new book is The Art of Flourishing, A Guide to Mindfulness, Self-Care, and Love in a Chaotic World. Dr. Rubin, great to have you on WILS. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yep, we're back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Good night.
Mid-Michigan's more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, Lansing, and worldwide at 1320WILS.com.